All right. Well, boy, what a song about freedom, right? That is true freedom. Anybody across the world, anywhere, no matter what country you're in, no matter who your king is, no matter who your tyrant is, if you have Jesus Christ, you are truly free. So I want us to remember that as we go through today. We're going to talk today more about the Sermon on the Mount. As you know, we've been going through that sermon verse by verse, and we're in chapter 6, so go ahead and turn to verses 19 and 20, through 21, if you will. And let's just remember where we've been. In the first part of chapter 6, Jesus has been telling us about how we need to be authentic in worship. He's been talking about religious things. He's been telling us that we need to be different than the Pharisees, different than the irreligious in the way we pray, in the way we fast, in the way we offer our tithes, in the way we treat these things about religion. And he says, look, you know, you need to be not a hypocrite. You need to be real. It needs to come from your heart, not just something that you do to be seen of other people, not just something you do for prestige, not just something you do to get your name on a plaque somewhere. This is between you and me, God says, and that's the way it needs to stay. Well, today he's going to look further into our hearts, and he's going to start talking to us about a topic that we'll spend the next 3 weeks on, and we'll see probably the next 20 verses we'll deal with this. And it talks about materialism. It talks about our attitude towards stuff. So what do we think about stuff? We all like stuff. But you see, the Pharisees and the irreligious had a big problem back then. And they were so focused on the material things, they were so focused on money, they were so focused on what they could touch, that they weren't paying attention to the spiritual things. Now that was 2,000 years ago. Does that sound vaguely familiar for today? Aren't we kind of the same way today? And that's what Jesus' message is about today. The same message he gave those people on the hillside 2,000 years ago is the same message that he's going to talk to us about today. He's going to talk to us about making godly choices. He's going to talk to us about how we spend our resources. What are our attitudes towards stuff? What role does stuff play in your life versus what role does God play in your life? And he's going to challenge us at the end, and he's going to tell us stuff should not be number one. I'll cut to the end of the sermon. God should be number one on a list of one. Stuff should not be on that list at all, because we are just stewards of what God has given us, Jesus is going to teach us. But he's going to start out, he's going to give us four examples as we go through these verses. He's going to talk today about two treasures, one that's earthly treasure, one that's heavenly treasure. Next week, he's going to talk about two ways of viewing the world. Do we view it through a world of the Bible, through a world of light, or do we view it through a material world where all we want is what helps us right now? Then he's going to talk about having two masters. You see, back then, he said, some of you have a master that is named money. That's the wrong master to have. He says, I want you to have a master whose name is God, whose name is I Am. And he's going to tell us how to have that master. And he's going to tell us we can't serve two masters. And then he's going to talk about two preoccupations, two thoughts. What goes on in our minds? Where do we put our trust? Where do we put our faith? And he's going to tell us there's a godly way and an ungodly way. And remember, the whole theme of this Sermon on the Mount is that he wants us to be different than the false religious people. He doesn't want us to fool ourselves or try to fool other people that we're being religious because we collect stuff or we have a lot of stuff. That's not the goal, he says, of life. And he'll tell us today one of the goals of life. So he wants to talk to us about this materialism. And he wants to talk to us about the world not simply being composed of everything that we can see and touch. So stand, if you will, let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You can be seated. So Jesus is going to talk to us about possessions. He's going to talk to us about life being more than the sum of all of our possessions. And he wants us to understand that there's a view of the world that forces us to think only about ourselves. And that view of the world that makes us think about ourselves is this one that's focused on possessions. If all we're thinking about is how much can I get, what do I have, it takes our focus off of God and it takes our focus off of other people. And we've seen through the Sermon on the Mount already that he wants us to first focus on God, then he wants to focus us on others, and then he wants us to focus on ourselves. So we get our priorities way out of kilter, way out of whack when we put possessions above God. And it gets our biblical theology out of whack too. The prosperity gospel that's being preached so much today, the biggest churches in the land, name it, claim it, you're going to get it. That is not what the gospel says. That is not what the Bible says. And it's not what Jesus said in these red letters. He says, don't worry about stuff. That should not be your focus. Don't think about what you can reach out and touch. I want you to think eternally. So I want to give you some examples from the ad world of today. See if you guys have ever seen any of these. How about Live for Today? Anybody heard that one? Yep. You heard that one. What about this one? Keep Up with the Joneses. Anybody know the Joneses, by the way? Perfect marriage, perfect kids, tons of money. Anybody know those people? Yeah, I haven't ever met the real Joneses, but we're supposed to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whoever on our block has that kind of car. How about this one? You only go around once and you've got to grab for all the gusto you can. That's an oldie but a goodie. Anybody heard that one? All right, and what about this one? This is more for the younger kids maybe. YOLO. You only live once. You ever heard that? You do live once, but it's a very, very long time. We need to think about that. So, look, what are these ads all focus on? They're focused on ourself. They're focusing on the here and now. There is no thought given in any of those for the eternal ramifications of what we're doing. So you grab all the gusto you can right now because you only live once. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. There's all kinds of ones I could have put up there. You know, you see sometimes on the back of these, usually trucks, no fear. Y'all ever seen that bumper sticker? The actual saying is, no God, no fear. They've conveniently gotten rid of the no God. So we're all looking at things today that we're constantly berated with this. Think about yourself. Who's number one? You know, they actually had to have a movement a few years ago. I am second. Anybody ever know that? I mean, why in the world would we have a whole campaign that taught somebody I am second? We ought to know that, but we don't. So here's the thing. The world says get, get, get. The world says build up all your possessions. That 401k, can you safely retire with $2.5 million? Well, I hope so. You know, I'd like to try that, please. You know, sign me up for that. But, you know, that's what we all think about today. What's happened to my 401k plan? Where's the stock market going? We're all worried about that. And Jesus is going to say, come on, guys, you know that's not the godly way. He's going to tell us that we need to avoid the selfish accumulation of stuff. Now, look, understand, Jesus never, ever says it's bad to have stuff. So don't think that. The Bible does not teach that money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not teach that we shouldn't plan. In fact, Jesus talks about the parable of the ants. The Proverbs talks about the parable of the ants and how much they spend all summer preparing so that they have food during the winter. We're supposed to plan. And the Bible tells us, look, if you're a believer and you don't even take care of your family, man, you got some problems. So we are supposed to live in a world that we appreciate what God has given us. We're supposed to live in a world where we enjoy all the benefits that God has given us. And that means we can have stuff. But what it also means is that we understand where they came from. And that we don't put the selfish accumulation of goods over where God is in our lives. So the challenge he's going to offer us today is to pick out that mirror. Pick out, if you got ladies have a compact, open that mirror up, look in the mirror. Guys, pretend you have one. And he wants us to look at ourselves and say, do I do this? And I'm going to give you some questions as we go through today that will challenge you to answer that question. Because he tells us that where our heart is, where our treasure is, that's going to be where our heart is. And he wants us to have our heart in heaven. He wants us to have our heart with Jesus, not with the stuff. So with that background, let's look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, and I want you to think about the society he's telling this to. Pretty much the only possession that people had was their clothing. Remember, we've talked about Jesus' instruction, if someone takes your shirt, you're supposed to give them your cloak too. Their shirt, their cloak was a way of life. That's what they had. And he's saying, look, don't consider that your treasure. Because what's going to happen to even the most well-made clothing over time? It's going to wear out. It's going to disintegrate. The moths are going to come. They're going to eat it. He's talking about precious metals here where rust does corrupt. And what he's talking about here is something that basically eats the material from inside. So it rusts. It disintegrates. And then, you know, the people back then, they didn't have banks. They buried their gold. They buried their hidden treasure. And they would bury it maybe in their field, or sometimes they would bury it in their house. But really, really common back then was for a thief to break in the wall. You know how you break in the wall? They were just made out of mud. He'd cut a hole in, reach through there, dig wherever he knew that treasure was. Their gold is gone. Or maybe somebody comes in the night and digs up the gold from where they saw them bury it in the field. But the point is that none of this stuff is safe. It's not safe. It's not going to last forever. Jesus says your clothes, your jewels, your gold, your stuff is all going to disintegrate. It's all going to wither away. Yet some of you pursue that. So why do we do that? What do we do that for? And he told us that, he said, you know, the Pharisees, he told us many times, were always after money. And he told them, don't be like that. I want you to turn over, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. We're going to read another parable that Jesus gave that kind of puts more meat on the bones to this, so to speak. Luke chapter 12, we're going to read verses 16 to 21. And this is a story about a man who put so much stock in having more stuff for himself that he not only forgot God, but he forgot others. So Luke chapter 12, verse 16. It says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Well, let's stop there for a second. What would a natural reaction be? I could give them to someone who needs food, or I could donate them to the church. Lots of reactions, right? Here's his. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he's focusing solely on himself. He's focusing on that selfish accumulation of stuff. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So understand what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, don't lay up treasure for yourself. Don't put your faith in stuff. Don't think, ooh, I've got so much that I can tear down what I've got, build it back, and I'm going to be even better. Now let me point something out. We use these verses a lot of times talking about money. It doesn't say money. It says treasure. And that word means something that is important to you and from which we get satisfaction. So you could have a treasure that is not money. It could be a goal in life. It could be a hobby. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be an image. Whatever it is from which you draw satisfaction, God is giving you a warning that you should not lay that up and rely on that for anything, because it's going to go away. If you are a child of God, you will be in eternity no matter which side you've chosen in 1,000 years. Okay? Think about what matters most to you physically right now. Where is that going to be in 1,000 years? It's not going to exist. If it does exist, you're not going to have it. But you're going to be alive. You're going to be alive either in torment or you're going to be alive with Jesus Christ in heaven. None of that stuff's going with us. So he says, don't let anything jump in the way of God, whether it be an ambition, whether it be your family, whether it be your job, whether it be your 401k, whether it be, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. Those are to come second. Jesus comes first, and if you get Jesus right, everything else falls into place. So he tells us, look, don't lay up treasures on earth. Job had it right. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. You can't take it with you. We've all seen these stories about people trying to take stuff with them, right? You know, a guy got buried in his Cadillac, or got buried in his grand piano, or tried to get all the money in the casket he could get. Doesn't work. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. But jump back to verse 20 of chapter 6. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So he's taken from the negative about what we shouldn't do, and he's given us the positive command, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So Jesus does actually teach, I want you to understand this, that we are to do works to lay up treasures in heaven. Some people think, golly, that doesn't sound right. Let me read you this. And in fact, you know what? Everybody turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read this. The Bible teaches that believers are going to be given a judgment. And our judgment as believers is called the believer's judgment of rewards. Some people call it the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. And it is a judgment where we are actually rewarded based upon what we do on this planet. So I want you to read this. This is not Parks. This is from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 11 through 14. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 14, he says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So understand what this is saying. And this is not the only verse. There's lots of verses in the Bible that talk about the rewards that believers receive. We are given a gift. We are given, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the gift of Jesus' gospel. And we're supposed to do something with that. We're supposed to take that out. We're supposed to share it. We're supposed to give it out. If we had a cure for COVID, would we give that out? Sure we would. We have a cure for something much worse than COVID. We have the cure for eternal death. And we hold on to it. That's wrong. We should be giving this out all the time that we can. And what Paul writes here is that someday when we go to heaven, we're going to be judged based on what we did with what Jesus gave us. And if what we did was built gold, silver, precious gems, precious stones, was godly, it was built on Christ, then we're going to be rewarded. If we do stuff that's built on wood, hay, and stubble, it's not based on Christ, we're not going to be rewarded. But we're still saved. Understand that. Charles Stanley called it the Swiss cheese judgment. You end up there as a block of cheese, and then you have holes based on where you missed opportunities. But understand, he's saying you get rewards. Now, why do we get the rewards? Anybody know? Yes, we get them not for us, and this is the key. If you go over to Revelation 4, when you see the church in heaven, we are throwing those rewards at Jesus' feet. So they're not for us. When we're working for these rewards, we're doing it so we have something when we're in heaven to cast at Jesus' feet and give back to Him. So Jesus has said, look, this is the kind of stuff I want you to lay up in heaven. I want you to do good works. Remember, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He's told us already in the Sermon on the Mount that He wants us to be like that city on the hill so that people can see our good works and what? Glorify God. We're not doing anything to get personal recognition. We are doing everything so that God gets the glory. Every single thing we do should be for that reason. Paul said it this way, no matter whether you eat or drink, in everything you do, do all for the glory of God. So we can do every single act in a way that glorifies God or doesn't glorify God. He calls on us to glorify God. That's how we lay our treasure up in heaven. Jesus says, I want your priorities right. I want you thinking about what's going to be gold, silver, precious jewels. What's going to survive that Swiss cheese judgment? What's going to survive that fire so that you can be rewarded and you can give that stuff back to me? And then in verse 21, let's see, back in Matthew chapter 6, he gives us the rule. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's given us this contrast of people that lay up stuff on earth versus people that are going to lay up stuff in heaven. And he's asking you, where are you? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. When you react to any situation, it's going to be based upon where your heart is, which is going to be based on where your treasure is. If you're building up treasure in heaven, you're going to react from a godly perspective. If your goal is to build up stuff here, you're going to act from a selfish perspective. You're going to want to keep, to hold on to the stuff and not trust in God. So here's some questions. I want you to think about these. When you're sitting around this afternoon, it's getting close to nap time. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about God? Are you thinking about what you heard this morning? Are you thinking about what you sang about this morning? Or are you thinking, man, you know, if I just got up and did a little more work, I could earn a little bit more. I could get that BMW that the Joneses have got next door. What are you thinking? What do you daydream about? Do you daydream about your investments? What's the first thing you do in the morning? Do you pray or do you check the stock ticker? He's asking you to look. He's asking you, where is your heart? Where is your treasure? What do you fret about the most would be another question. You know, back in the day, they were worried about whether or not they could keep their clothing, whether they could eat for the next day. What do we worry about? You know, can I retire? Will I have that $2.5 million to retire? What's my 401k today? What's my stock market ticker say? What about this question? What do you dread losing the most? Is it walking away from God? Is it disfellowship with God? Is it not spending enough time with Him? Or is it, oh man, I don't want to lose my job. Who gave you that job in the first place? God did. What are you thinking about? And then here's a tough one. How are we judging others? How are we putting value on others? Do we put value on others because they're our brothers and sisters, children of God? Or do we value others depending on how much money they got? How many BMWs they got? How much money they got in their accounts? How much they give at church? By their clothing? How many rings they wear? All kinds of things. Do we look at that? If we're valuing other people by what they can do for us or from what they can contribute to us, man, we've missed this whole sermon. God loves us who we are, not because of what we can do for Him. He doesn't need us to do anything for Him. He said, remember, you got to be like the wretched beggars to come to me. You got to realize you got nothing. And that's where I want you. Because then you'll look to me, you'll listen to me, you'll look to me as the source of everything. And then probably the hardest question, what is it that I couldn't be happy without? Could we ditch your Bible? Could we throw your Bible away and you still be happy? Could we throw your car away and you still be happy? What would it be? And as you go through and you think about those answers to those questions, a picture is going to come in your mind. Where is your heart? If your treasure is earthly, then you probably answered in a way that says, you know, there's something else other than God that I treasure more. I can't let it go. Remember, it doesn't have to be money. It could be a thing. It could be a person. I can't let her go. Can't let Him go. God says, look first to me. Worry about me. You see, if you focus on the material stuff, you're under the impression that you own those things and that they're going to make you happy. If you understand the Bible, you'll know two things. Number one, you don't own anything. They own you if you've got that mentality. And then the second thing you'll know is that we all get it from God. Every single thing we have is from God. We are simply caretakers of it. We're stewards of it. And God says, hey, I every once in a while, think about giving me some of it back. Or think about using some of what I've given you to help your fellow man. You know, back in the day, Rush Limbaugh used to say that his talent was on loan from God. You may not have liked Rush Limbaugh, but that was a very true statement. Who you are, all of your talents, all of your abilities, they're on loan from God. And He's given them to you to use, not to sit on, not to hide. He's given them to you to sit up on that hill and be who He wants you to be. To show the world what God can do through you. Not for your glory, but for His. And you see, if our treasure, if our goal, if our heart is to glorify God in everything, it doesn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter how much stuff we have at all. What matters is that our lives are glorifying God. Jesus says you can be wealthy or you can be poor. You can be fat, you can be skinny. You can be what we call happy, you can be sad. But you can always be glorifying God. And if that is where your heart is, you are laying up treasure in heaven. And if that is where your heart is, that is evidence to you that you have undergone true salvation, because this is not a human position. This is a supernatural love that we cannot have unless God is working on the inside of us. So as we close today, think about the mirror. Where's your heart? If your heart's not in the right place and you're a Christian, you know that you have the ability to confess, God will bring you back into fellowship with Him, and He will restore the bond that you and He had. And then He will tell you, keep focused on the right thing. We're going to talk about that a lot next week. If you're not yet a Christian, He's going to tell you, you can't lay up treasures in heaven until you become a Christian. This is only something that My children can do. He says, I want you to be My child. I want you to come to Me. I want you to acknowledge My Son Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then I want you to start living a life of righteousness, one that is designed to glorify Me, one that is designed to produce much fruit. And He says, I promise you, every believer will bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100, He says. And back then, the typical yield was 8 times your sow. He's saying, now, we're not going to deal in those little numbers. Forget 8, we're going 30, we're going 60, 90, because He's going to work through us. So if you're not yet a Christian and you want to be on this kind of team, this is the time that you come forward. This is the time that you give your heart to God. You say, I know that I have sinned. I confess it. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior God, and I believe that You have raised Him from the dead. That is what it takes to believe in God and change your eternal destiny from a destiny of going to hell to a destiny of living eternally in Jesus' presence. I was talking to somebody this morning. You know, we all have testimonies. We all have sin in our past. Some people have different kinds of sin. But if you have been saved, you know that Jesus took you from that position of being dead because of that sin, whatever it was, however piddly or however big, and He moved you into that being alive forevermore category. And they say God doesn't do miracles anymore. Every time somebody confesses, goes against the grain of society, goes against the grain of human nature, and truly believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation. You want to call that a miracle? That is a miracle. Can I get an amen out of that? I mean, that is a true miracle. So He's calling for us to examine ourselves today. If you need to make a response, that's what the invitation time is for. It's for you to stay where you are and say, hey, I've accepted Jesus. Come up front and tell us. Whatever it may be, whatever response He's calling for you to make, I just pray that you make it. It's between you and Him, not me and you. You talk to Him during our time of invitation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You that it cuts us to the quick sometimes, Father, that it makes us look at our lives, makes us think, am I really living the way You want me to live? Father, I pray that You would expose any misconceptions we have about our own lives, that You would reveal to us first where our heart is and where our treasure is, Lord. And if it's in the wrong place, I pray that You would give us the means to move it, that You would give us the ability to confess, that we would respond, and that we would move that treasure from earthly things that are going to corrupt to heavenly things that will never, ever, ever go away. Father, just pray that You have Your way this morning with each and every person. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.